Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hi, everyone. I want to welcome you today to My Journey of Faith Radio. I'm very excited about today. It just seems like our shows just get better and better and more interesting. Just each topic is such a need for everything that we go through. And today is no different. There are so many things in our life that we may, as a little child, had it all planned out exactly how life was going to go and no interruptions. But that's just not how life goes. We get hurt, we get sidetracked, but it never catches God off guard. And that is exactly what we're talking about with my guest today. This is Diane Bailey, and she is joining me from the deep south of the United States, where she loves to just sit and have coffee and get to know each other better. She writes a blog. And then we'll let her tell you about that here in a little bit. She wrote a book called Strings of Pearls that is written to help women find understanding about life and even when it seems to go wrong. She speaks at conferences and does small groups, encouraging women to turn their tears into treasures, just as a grain of sand will become a pearl. She and her husband live in the Alabama state, and she has a blended family where she has two adult children, two stepchildren, three grandchildren, and one African-American son-in-law. And she has on her info that family can get crazy, and she fully understands that. Hi, Diane. How are you?
I'm doing well, Cynthia. How are you?
Just fine. I am so glad that you are joining me today. And this is the first of a two-part series. We'll continue on next week. But today, let's talk a little bit about the hurt, the things that our life just, we have it all planned out, but things go wrong. And how has that kind of become a ministry with you?
You know, I don't think there's a person on the planet that hasn't been wounded in some way. And you know, you feel like you're so alone in that wounding. You pull off by yourself to kind of lick your wound and see if you can heal it, when the important thing is to stay in community, to stay with those who have possibly been down the same road, and to have encouragement by those who have been wounded. Sometimes, you know, it's in our own bloodshed that we are able to bless others. And I know that's a hard statement to make, but it's when we are wounded that we are able to open up ourselves even more so, if we will allow God to put us in those positions of being opened up and show others the way. When you've been wounded, you're further down the road than someone who is just starting down a wounded path. And sometimes you're able to say, watch out for this, come this way, you know, let me help you, let me walk beside you. And it's just, you know, everybody's been wounded. And I think, like I said, it feels like you're not with community. You feel like you're the only one that's happened to, and you feel like you're alone.
Exactly. That is exactly true. So many times we think that I'm the only one that has ever been this. I'm the only one that has even felt anything like this. And if you haven't, I would almost say you're in denial if you don't think you've ever been wounded. Because we have. Well, tell us a little bit about how you encourage people to turn their tears to treasures. I mean, first, maybe getting people to open up and to share, because that's the biggest thing that you see, especially with women. We want to hide behind a mask of everything's okay. But how do we get that facade in?
You know, it's everyone's been through something, and I don't think God allows you to go through something just for you to be hurt. I think he allows you to go through something for your life to be interrupted, because you're going to be a conduit for someone else to get to God. maybe they have not been able to find how God can use this to bless their lives, to glorify Him. And when you're open, when you say, this is who I am, I'm being real with you, I have messed up or I have been hurt, and maybe I didn't handle it well, but here's how God came in and changed my trajectory from one place to a place where He could bless me and bless others in this wounding. And it's not easy. You have to be real. You have to be authentic. You have to risk telling who you are and what's happened and the criticism that may come with that. Women, not only do women need each other, women are hard on each other. Women, we do. We bite each other in the back sometimes, and we try to make ourselves look better than we really are, because I think in truth, we all have that desire to be the person that we were created to be before the fall, before sin. We want to be recognized. We want to be thought as wrinkle-free and spot-free, and that will happen. We have that internal desire for the things of God, but it's not going to happen in this life exactly that way. And we have to know that, number one, none of this, none of our woundings ever snuck up on God from the beginning of the world. He knew that this would be our trajectory. This is where we would go. And though it sneaks up on us and it interrupts our perfect plan, our perfect dream, and our perfect family and life, it's not a mystery to Him. It's not something that suddenly appeared and He's going, oh, well, let's think up something to do with that idea. No, He wove this into the most beautiful, perfect tapestry, the most beautiful picture of our lives. It's just that we don't always see where that thread, that black thread, goes into pure gold. We don't see where the obstacles are really God's way of getting us to where we need to be. We see it as something horrible that's happened to our lives. And God sees it as, I'm trying to get you to a place where I can glorify myself and bless you and your family in this. And it's a hard thing to say, as I think it was in Job, where he says, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. And that sounds beautiful, but to be able to pray and actually say, yes, Lord, you're killing me here, but I'm going to trust you in it. No, you're destroying everything I've worked for, but I'm going to trust you in this. That's a hard statement to say, and it's even harder to actually live it, believe it, and move in it.
That is very true. I loved how you put and you said about how God allows it, and He allows the interruptions in our lives. You know, God doesn't always cause all this to happen, but He allows it for our purification, for our sanctification, setting us apart. And I love how the Bible is just filled with people that their lives were interrupted and they're wounded, but God uses it. And I love how you've brought that out. Thank you.
You know, sometimes our wounding comes because we are selfish and strong-willed, or maybe just plain ignorant of which way we should have chosen. But sometimes our wounding comes because of the strong will and the choices of others. Mm. And God gives them free will as much as He gives us free will. They have the choice to wound us. And God says, you know, I'm going to allow this to happen because I know what we can do with this. I know I can take this with you to make everything something special in your life. You know, there are so many things that God has blessed in my life, and I would never have chosen it. Even today, if I had to rewrite it all, I don't know that I would choose the same things that God chose. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I know how to raise my hand and thank Him for it, because I can see what He was doing now further down the road where I couldn't before. And even in the things that were wounding to me that I don't see the clear answer of God moving in that, I can still raise my hand in worship and say, to God be the glory. You use this. And that's one thing I have prayed most of my life, especially as I've gotten older. I've really been able to pray it with a pure heart, that God, no matter what happens to me, don't waste it. If I, no matter what happens to me, no matter what kind of tragedy or wounding comes my way, Father, if anything, don't waste it. Use it for something. Instead of pulling to myself and holding myself in a closet and hiding from the world, I'm saying, here I am, Lord, use me. Use this wounding. Take the blood from my heart that pours out when these things happen and let it be a transfusion for someone else.
Now, did that is a great aspect to look at it, a way of not wasting it. How have you, what got you to that point? Because I know that very first series of times that you feel like you're wounded, even when you're little or in your teenage years, that you don't want to say, God, don't waste this. But you, through that maturity, you've gotten to that point. But what were some steps maybe you were able to take to get you there?
It's not, you know, it's just been a whole lifetime of steps. I was in a very bad marriage the first time I married, and I always say that God rescued me from that. I didn't get a divorce. I got rescued from that marriage. And it's just continued. I guess I'm just further down the road where I can see the hand of God beginning to move, and I've matured enough that I'm not going to throw myself on my knees and almost hold my breath going, God, please, God, please, God, please, God, please, do it my way. I'm finally to the place in most things, and I'm still growing and learning, but in most things I'm able to go to the Lord and say, okay, what do you want me to do here? Mm-hmm. What do you want to, and it's 90% of the time, it is never what I would have prayed for, but in the end, it's always what my heart's desire had been. It has been the answer to the greatest prayer in my heart that I could not even put words to. You know, God used me through the first marriage and the wounding and the verbal abuse that occurred with that, and sometimes physical. I've been able to go to other women, and I can spot it, an abused woman, usually before they even say anything. There's just a countenance, and I can go to that woman and at least begin a conversation where if they choose to open up, then they've got somebody, they've got a sister that knows what they've been through, that knows what it's like and how terrifying and embarrassing it is to admit I've been abused. With biracial, especially down here in the South, having an African-American son-in-law, there are still people, a great number, unfortunately, that will look at me and look at my family as though we are less than. And it has taken the Lord absolutely holding my tongue for me not to go over there and, you know, reveal to them some facts of life. I have, you know, wanted to really get a hold of some people and say, listen, this is not, you don't even know what you're talking about. God created this person this color because he thought it was beautiful, and he had a plan that included the color of a person. You didn't happen to choose your own color. God chose it for you. So how are you any better than anybody else? Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me started. That's a whole other conversation.
That can be a very strong wounding point. And it can, but there's many, many people out there that live that, have chosen that aspect, that dynamic of their family that has welcomed it in. And, you know, we just, yeah. We could go a whole other way with that one.
I can get a whole other story going on that one.
That's right,
but
we
that
could.
That too can be wounded, and you have to go to God and say, how can I pray for that person? Because I'm really in one of those moods where I want to do some of the David prayers that are not so beautiful. And God, you know, teaches you to humble yourself and be able to pray his glory over those people, that God will redeem and renew their mind. When my first prayer is, Lord, go get them. Go get them and set them straight.
Of course.
And God teaches me to pray. And this is what is great when you begin to be wounded and learn to pray for others. It humbles you. And I've found that the definition truly in the Bible for humbling yourself is not becoming the doormat, not becoming less than, but it is in your esteemed position, in the position as a child of God, an esteemed position, you can put away that authority and come beside somebody and say, I can help you. I have, you know, like Jesus did. He had the authority to say, I am somebody special. You need to serve me. But he put aside that authority. He humbled himself and bent down beside the wounded and the brokenhearted and said, I'm here with you. Let me see if I can help you. Will you let me help you? I want to make your life better. And when we are wounded, that's the position that we should take, is not, you know, I can't believe that happened to me. I'm too good for this. I should have, yeah, those things may be true. But it is how you glorify Christ. It's how you glorify God. When you put that aside and said, that shouldn't have happened to me, but let me kneel down and sacrifice my time to pray for you. The Bible talks about laying down your life. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for a brother or for another person. And to me, when you sacrifice the time of day to kneel down and pray for somebody, especially someone who has wounded you, you know, that is the greatest gift of love. That's a sacrifice of love.
Right. Now, you are a certified life coach. Is that correct?
Yes, I do life coaching.
Okay. Now, how would you go about with this, maybe a small group of women, or even just, you know, two or three women that have come to you and they have been wounded? What steps would you take? What are some things that maybe we have a listener out and they're like, okay, I understand I'm wounded, and I understand I need to get there to where
right.
I can ask God to use this and not waste it. But I'm not there. But how? What are my steps? How can I get on that right path? What would be some suggestions?
Here's my philosophy on life coaching. In Ephesians, it says God has equipped the saints. There's an equipping. And I truly believe that in each of us, God has prepared us with the answer. But it takes discussing it. It takes someone asking you questions and helping you to dig deep inside yourself about your core values and about your lifestyle choices to be able to speak it out and talk it out. And by the time you have someone who is trained to listen, trained to ask the right questions, you'll discover that the answer was in you the whole time. So when I go into life coaching situations, I begin to listen to them. Who are you? Where do you want to go? And what my job is to be the bridge that connects them from where they are right now to where they want to go. Coaching does not deal with your past. That's what a counselor will do, is help you come to terms with your past. But what a coach will do is take you from where you are and through questions and dialogue help you set your goals that you desire, that God has created you to achieve, and helps you cross that bridge into your future. So I would start with asking them, you know, what do you see? When you get out of the shower and you're wrapping your hair up in a towel and you look in the mirror, what is it that you pretend that you're doing? Are you teaching? Are you speaking? Do you have this painting going on in your mind? Do you have paragraphs of, you know, prose that you are writing? What is it that your imagination has you doing? Because I truly believe that God created imagination so that we could envision where he is taking us. The Bible says he calls what isn't as though it is. That's God's job. Our job is to listen to that vision and to imagine it and start looking at, okay, what would be the first step in going there? Do I need to continue some education? Do I need to start stepping out of my comfort zone into talking to others, to, you know, putting a stand in an art show, you know, something? Where are you going? What are your goals? What's the first step?
So after that, we see, I'm writing notes because I'm like, oh, that's good for me. Oh, what do I do when I get out of the shower? Because I'm like, wow, maybe this is for me.
You know, God is so good. He has given us everything we need. If we need imagination to dream up what isn't as though it is, then he's equipped
exactly.
you for that. If you need to be able to talk it out and find out, oh, yeah, maybe it's time to let go of this friendship that I'm working too hard at so I can be open to new friendships. I know with me, part of my wounding, and we'll talk about this next week, is that God closed some doors on some friendships, and it was not my first choice. It's not what I would have, again, if I could have written my story, this is not the chapter, this wouldn't be in the book. This would not be a chapter in my book. But God takes you, and he arranges things so that you have different doors to go through. But sometimes it takes a hurtful closed door for you to open the next one, because I would have never chosen to pursue life coaching, to pursue blogging, to pursue speaking outside of my cozy little environment had a door not closed.
Right. That's pretty much, I think, how God works a little bit at times. Is he doesn't allow us to open the doors. Last night I watched a video with Francis Chan, and the main character or whatever was in a room. It was an all-white room, and there was one long red mark that went to a specific door, and that was the door that you would go through if you followed Jesus. But there was other doors around the room, and sometimes you went out one door and it brought you right back into the room, or you couldn't open that door. And I really firmly believe that God allows sometimes those doors to not be opened because of our betterness, and you know, whether it's a relationship that we're trying to work too hard at.
You know, sometimes God, a door will close and then it doesn't appear to have a new door opening or even a window or a closet or anything. It's like nothing's working here, God. And I think that sometimes God keeps us in the hallway to heal.
Right.
Before opening the next door. And when we're in that hallway, it's our job to just continually seek him. Sometimes he gets us isolated because it's a time of healing. It's a time that he treasures as one-on-one time with him. We can get so caught up in the world and the wounding and the trying to fix it that we don't seek him exclusively. We're still trying to work on the problem. And I think sometimes, and I know this is another place where I can say, you're killing me here, God, but I'm going to trust you. There are times that he has had me absolutely in time out. And I have been able to say, okay, God, I don't like it here. But then that sweet, sweet one-on-one relationship with him starts revealing itself. And it's like, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. In your wisdom, you pulled me away from the rest of the world. Because of your love for me, not because I'm in trouble, not because it's a punishment, because you desire me. The word says he is jealous for us, not of us. I've heard Oprah Winfrey go there, that God, she thought God was jealous of her. No, he is jealous for us. He is jealous for us to spend time with him, to have that relationship with him, because he is so in love with us.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And, you know, you were talking about sometimes he pulls us back into the timeout and the different times. And I think during those times is kind of from our human nature, whether we're introverts or extroverts, that we still feel left out of community.
Yeah.
Those times when we feel like, okay, I'm going through this and I'm all by myself. So what about that? Those people?
I think God has planned community for them. You know, you said introvert or extrovert. When I was studying for the certification for life coach, one of the things they taught is the difference between an introvert and an extrovert. An extrovert re-energizes is how they define it. An extrovert will re-energize by being with people. I've got a sister who is just gets recharged by being with people. I am more the type that is, though I am charged by people, I love people. When I really need to get myself together, I need to be by myself. I need to get my thoughts together. I need to clearly hear the Lord speaking in my heart before I can go out and do any more with people. I have got to have that 10 minutes of downtime by myself. So when someone is, and when someone is healing and their way of healing is being by themselves, they need to try, even if it's just one person, they need to try to find someone to get out of the house, get into the world again to a certain extent as God leads them, so that they are not totally isolated, because whatever happened to you, you are not the only one. Mm-hmm. Those who are extroverts, sometimes they recharge by being with people. Sometimes they also run from the problem by being with other people. And they need to consider, okay, take a little time out and get away from people and just shut down for a while and listen to the Lord speak to you concerning this problem. You know, isn't it always the thing that we're less comfortable with? It's the thing that's probably what we need to be doing a little bit of. Yeah. It's all in that balance. It's all in the balance.
It is. And I love how when you and I were talking earlier just a little bit about those that feel left out of the community and that we need to bring back, but even Jesus was so in tune with that, you know, talking about the one sheep. So mm-hmm. he left them all to go back just to find that one. And then whether you're in or out of community right now, because of your wounding, Jesus is still searching for you.
And I think we should follow his example. There are so many people who are out of church right now that are believers that need to be sought. Jesus left the 99. That was a church of 99, in my opinion, to find that one who was wounded and went off by themselves. And he brings them back into the fold. We were created to be in community. Lord created Eve. It is not good for man or woman to be alone. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. We are created to be in community with him and with other believers. We are also to go out and find the lost. And that is part of our commission. And I think it's, again, finding the balance. We are to be in community, but we are not to isolate ourselves in that community. We are still to be the hands and feet of Christ going out into the world.
Right. Well, Diane, we are out of time, which is what you have just said has led us right up to our topic for next week. Because a lot of times our wounding comes from within the fold, those that are wounded by God's own people. So next week we're going to come back. Diane's going to join me at the same time, and we are going to talk about a very tough issue about being wounded by those within the fold, within the church. So I want to thank you, Diane, for joining me today. And I can't wait for next week, even though it's kind of a tough issue, but I think we're ready. We can tackle it. So thank you so much for joining me today, Diane.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and then for everyone out there, I want to just thank you so much for joining us. You can find Diane. Oh, Diane, tell them what your blog address is.
www.dianewbailey.net.
Okay, that's great. So just I encourage you, go find her at her blog. You can even chat with her there, interact with her, contact her if you need to. And then we will see you next week where we continue this topic of being God's wounded people and how we overcome that wounding and not let God waste it. So have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.